Rejection is just redirection. It's just like, oh, that's not the path for me. Let me try something else. It's never, ever, ever a sign to quit. Other people's opinions don't mean shit when it comes to your life's mission. Other people's opinions are just a mirror to what they're going through. If they don't believe that something is possible, that's to do with their mindset, not your talent. Welcome to the Being in a Band podcast. I'm your host, Monica Strutt, and I'll be your new band bestie as we deep dive into all things music marketing, branding, PR and release strategy, as well as the mindset it takes to succeed in today's modern music industry. I know the highs and lows of being a musician, and I've seen far too many of my talented peers give up on their dreams far too early in their careers. After working for years as a musician, professional digital marketer, and music journalist, I now help emerging bands break through the glass ceiling and reach the next level in their careers. Let's do this. What's up? Welcome back to the Being in a Band podcast. I'm your host, Monica Strutt, and today we are talking all about networking and growing a personal brand online. So if you're a musician or you're a music industry pro, you have a personal brand, whether you like it or not, whether you're aware of it or not. It means that there is a perception that you have. You have an image, and people are aware of that image, and it's your job to kind of navigate how you are going to, I guess, put that image out there in the best way that serves you and your career. So I am just working on my brand new workshop, Step Into the Spotlight, and this is where this training is coming from. So I will read out the definition of personal brand. So for those who don't know, Step Into the Spotlight, it's my workshop that's happening on Saturday. You can register, join us live. The first half of the Step Into the Spotlight workshop is all about confidence and overcoming imposter syndrome. So I've noticed from years and years as a musician suffering imposter syndrome myself and having to work on my own self-confidence and also being involved in the music industry on a business level that imposter syndrome and lack of confidence is definitely something that everyone suffers with. You know, new level, new devil. Imposter syndrome, in case you don't know, is feeling like a fraud or like achievements and success happen to you by accident. And I even felt this, you know, when the Unify announcement came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening really quickly. Technically, it'll be our 9th or 10th show. So I was like, am I deserving? Was this just some sort of luck or accident? And it's like, no, I've been working really, really hard on my music for over 15 years now. Why wouldn't I get an opportunity like that? So it can happen to everyone, and it's not something that I believe we can ever fully get over, but you just learn to identify it and move through it quicker. So that is what this workshop's about. The first half, as I said, is confidence and imposter syndrome. Then the second half will be more strategic. It'll be about how to network, how to build a personal brand, how to monetize that personal brand to create more sources of revenue. There are so many different ways you can make money online as a musician, and I'm going to be going into them within this workshop. Hey, Last Mob. Hey, from Nebraska. I wanted to check with you what you said about people being uncomfortable with your success. That looked interesting. Oh, yes. I'm going to be talking all about that in the Step Into the Spotlight workshop. I mean, just to touch on that for a moment, yes, people will be uncomfortable with your success because you putting yourself out there can sometimes trigger others because others may interpret your success as a failure in their part. So basically, hey, Weena, basically it means that sometimes you having certain achievements can bring up the notion that a certain individual who is judging you has not achieved that. And subconsciously they're looking for someone to blame instead of taking accountability. And so that's when you get like tall poppy syndrome and trolls online trying to tear others down. It's usually because of jealousy. They're unhappy in their own life. So that is the reason why, you know, your success will make some people uncomfortable. But what I do go on to say in that workshop is your mission is more important than your ego. So within Step Into the Spotlight, we're going to really, really be honing in on your mission. What is your greater mission as an artist or a music industry pro? So Let's go back to the definition of personal brand. So your personal brand is the intentional effort to influence public perception of an individual by positioning them as an authority in their industry, giving them credibility, and differentiating themselves from the competition. The goal is to ultimately advance their career, increase their circle of influence, and have a larger impact. So in other words, your personal brand is simply your reputation. And as I said earlier, everyone has a reputation, and you are able to leverage that reputation to get more more opportunities for yourself and your band, or less opportunities if you're not fostering a good personal brand, which I'm also going to be talking about in the workshop. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about no bullshit ways that I actually grew my network. Let me just move my mic. So network is your net worth, they say, and your network is a really, really important component to having success. It is the difference between getting opportunities and not getting opportunities. Now, when we talk about network, your network is not a replacement for a good product. Just like marketing is not a replacement for a good product, your network isn't a replacement for a good product. So a lot of naysayers will say, you know, they only got where they are because of their network or because they work in the industry. That's actually never the case. In saying that, if there are two bands, say, and they both have equally good music, they are at equal points in their career, but one of the bands knows, say, a promoter personally, they've already built up the trust, the promoter knows they're going to turn up on time, they've got the right gear, they've got the right attitude, they, you know, play live really, really well, your network will and your personal brand will kind of leverage up that playing field a little bit. So let's talk about how to grow your network. So there are some generic ways, which I'm sure that you all know because they're very obvious, and that is industry events, being active online, you know, being there at live shows, if you can go to live shows right now, engaging on social media, in like Facebook groups, and just supporting the scene in general. That is kind of your baseline of growing your network. So what I want to talk to you now about is getting more specific on the ways that I've built my network. I have a very large network of individuals in the music industry around the globe. And I'm not saying that to like toot my own horn. It's just the business that I'm in, that's what I've been able to create. So the first thing is that I wrote down is I actively put myself in situations that would lead to expanding my network. So again, this is talking about your industry events, going to shows, that sort of thing, and also not being afraid to talk to people. Now, I won't just like go up to some random person at a bar and talk to them. That's not really my personality, but online more so, I have occasionally like slid into the DMs, but not really that much, but it's mainly been like the industry events and that sort of thing. That also means I took a job working in the music industry because, you know, I'll talk about that in a moment. Secondly, I consistently put myself and my work out there. Even when it was vulnerable, even when I felt invisible, I shared what I knew, my opinions, and most importantly, my passion. Eventually, people started to notice and saw me as a quote expert in my field. Then they came to me. So they say that polarity is really important in drawing in your hardcore fans or followers to you. That doesn't mean that you go out there and intentionally try and piss people off with your opinions, but you do need to have an opinion of some sort. So sharing that opinion online will make you stand out instead of fading into the background. But also just sharing your story can be really, really powerful. Thirdly, I started calling myself an expert way before I actually believed it. I felt imposter syndrome often. Sometimes it was crippling. Fake it till you make it was and still is my motto. So for example, I called myself a band coach when I only had one client, or even probably before I even had a client. Sometimes you have to crown yourself, because I found that if you start calling yourself, say, a writer, yet you haven't written anything, just the decision to become a writer is enough momentum for people to be like, hey, what do you do for a living? And you'll be like, oh, I'm a writer. And then they'll be like, oh, cool, she's a writer. So you have to crown yourself and you teach people how to treat you. And that just goes for so many different areas of life, but also when it comes to your career. So also if people don't know what you do, you know, even if you're a musician, but especially if you work in the music industry, they won't be able to help you along. So that's another benefit to crowning yourself, not just for the mindset aspect. There's such a power in just saying like what you want to become and just embodying it before you're ready, but also tangibly, it means that people can actually help you out with more opportunities. I also made sure that I did my homework. I studied my industry. I was kind of obsessed with studying my industry so that I had things of value to share. The fake it till you make it is really about your mindset, but you do have to have an opinion. You do have to have some sort of knowledge if you want to be a teacher or a consultant. I think that kind of goes without saying. I also worked on my mindset and pushed through fear, which still comes up every single week. There are still so many moments, as I was saying at the beginning of this call, there were so many moments where I feel like an imposter or I feel afraid to put myself out there, or, you know, I'm launching a course and it's not going as well as I would have thought. And the temptation is, you know, I've had this before where the temptation is to just pull the plug on the course. And then I push through that fear of looking like an idiot and boom, five people sign up right at the last minute, right before we're about to close the doors. So again, it's kind of like this imposter syndrome example earlier where I was saying you probably won't ever get to a point where you stop being afraid of trying new things or putting yourself out there. You just learn to move through those feelings quicker and you have practice feeling the fear and doing it anyway. That's what bravery is. It's not the absence of fear. It's about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. I'm aware of who the key players in the industry are and I use the third door to get to them. By the way, The Third Door by Alex Benayan is an incredible, incredible book. It's not specific to musicians, but it definitely has a lot of like music industry examples in there. And it really teaches you, I mean, the concept is there is the front door where everyone tries to go into to get into a club, say. There's also the VIP entrance where a small percentage of people line up and get into. There's always a third door, and that's usually down the alleyway, through the kitchen window, and through the back entrance to the club. And obviously the club is a metaphor to wherever you want to go in your career. So I was aware of who the key players are in the industry. If you are in a band and you want to, so often this is like one of my first questions that I ask my clients is I'll be like, okay, what are your goals for working together? They'll be like, I want to get management. I want to have a booking agent. I want to get signed to a label, that sort of thing. I want to play, you know, festivals. And I'll go, okay, well, which manager? Which booking agency, which festivals? And oftentimes they'll just kind of look at me with a blank face, almost like, we don't care what, we just want to get to that next level. So being really specific about the managers you want, the booking agents you want, will not only ensure that you don't make any bad business decisions, it'll also make those achievements and those milestones in your career, because when you have people on your team, that's kind of effectively going to the next tier in your career. It'll make that seem a lot less, it'll just make those things seem a lot closer when you know, when you can put like an email address or a name to this manager or, you know, whoever you want to bring onto your team, it makes those things feel more attainable. And again, it's about the practicality of you need to be making the right business decisions and not just working with any old Tom, Dick and Larry down the street, but also understanding that these are like real people and understanding what other bands they've got on their roster and that sort of thing. So really, really important to be aware of who's in your music scene and who can help support you. Whilst I worked as a music journalist for a creative outlet, I was in between bands at the time that I sort of I've been a music journalist for ages, but when I kind of like leveled up and became a senior staff member, I was doing it as a creative outlet, but I was also aware that this would enable me to become colleagues slash friends slash acquaintances with people who could help out my future band. Duh, that goes without saying. It wasn't necessarily the reason, because I still genuinely love writing and it's such a passion of mine and I, you know, needed that creative outlet, but I'm not an idiot. I know that it would put my name and myself in front of the right people and it worked. It certainly worked. It's important that I'm seen as a peer, not a fangirl. This is the way I position myself when I can. People have to know I won't be a punisher. So it's really, really important, especially if you're looking to work in the music industry in any capacity, that you're seen as a peer, not a fan. Now, of course, we're all fans. We love music. We love the heavy music scene, but you don't want to be a punisher. You always, always want to respect people's time and you want to speak to people professionally. And if you do that, then, you know, people will trust that you won't be difficult to work with or anything. And that really just reflects on your personal brand. I remember talking to Danny from Silverback Touring on the podcast, and he was saying that, you know, when he gets emails from bands who are applying for bigger shows and whatnot, if they say, you know, we're such a hardcore fans of whoever the headliner is and we'd love to support them, that's kind of a turnoff for him because, and not everyone will agree, I know, but he said that it was a bit of a turnoff because he wants to be able to trust that the support acts he puts on the bill won't do anything crazy, like go into the headliner's dressing room when they're not supposed to, or steal their beers, or try and take photos all the time. You know, he needs to be able to trust that they will behave professionally. So it's really, really important that, especially if you're working in the music industry, you keep your cool. I've interviewed many, many of my idols, Burt McCracken from The Used, the guys in Bullet for My Valentine. I interviewed people that were related to members of Guns N' Roses and so many countless bands that I really, really admire. And you just got to chill, man, and just treat them like humans. And after you've been doing it long enough, it's very, very easy anyway. Everyone honestly is just a human at the end of the day. And you're able to connect over this mutual passion of music. I'm nice to everyone. I support others and don't expect anything in return. If something nice does happen in return, that's great. If not, it doesn't matter. Also, you never know where people will be in 3 years. I heard the best advice for one of my manager friends, who's an incredible manager in Australia. And he said that you never know where people are going to be in a couple of years. The person that is the photographer at the festival just volunteering for a publication could be fucking booking that festival in 3 years' time. People who are really, really passionate about the music industry stay in the music industry long term. And usually people have their hands in a lot of different pies as well when it comes to jobs within the industry. I know that the old owner of Heavy Magazine is a graphic designer and photographer. So, you know, that's an example of someone with a whole, you know, hands in a whole lot of pies. Me, myself, I'm in a band. I was a music journalist, also a digital marketer. And I ended up working for one of the biggest record labels in the world. Like, I didn't expect that to happen a couple of years ago. Absolutely no way. And so you have to be nice to everyone. You have to support everyone. Again, don't do that to expect good things to happen to you, but you'll find that karma, it's just, you know, what goes around comes around, and it's law of attraction. If you're putting out like good energy and passion, then that's what's going to come back to you. So it's just inevitable at the end of the day. So last couple of points about how I've grown my network, no bullshit ways I've grown my network in the music industry. I said yes to opportunities that didn't seem big at first, but led to bigger things and snowballed exponentially. For example, podcast interviews, workshops, etc. So going on, you know, a podcast that I've never heard of has often snowballed into, you know, people discovering me and new clients and everything like that, and just generally being seen as a leader in my niche. So, you know, I've had really amazing people on my podcast, and my podcast isn't even that big. I remember Blasco, who is the manager of Black Veil Brides, and he used to manage In This Moment. He's a bass player for Ozzy Osbourne. He reached out to me to be on my podcast. He wasn't too good to be on my podcast. He's like, hey, I have something to say that your audience might like, and I'd love to be on your pod. It seems really aligned. And I was like, you can come on my podcast anytime. And I still can't believe that that happened. So don't be too good for certain opportunities. You know, this is very different to being selective about the shows that you play. I do believe that you need to be selective about shows and whatnot to position yourself in a certain way in the market. But you also never know where opportunities may lead. So if you feel good about it, if it's aligned with your values and everything like that, then say yes, and they often lead to bigger things. The next point, I'm not afraid to mention and talk about what I do, but I've learned to read the room and not be a punisher. So you'll find that the way that I sell is, you know, sell my programs or my coaching or everything. I just bring it up in conversation, not necessarily to people I'm talking to in real life, but when I'm talking online. So for example, I'm doing this free training via Instagram Live at the moment. I'm also recording a podcast, and I've already mentioned several times that I have a new workshop coming out, which is being streamed live on Saturday, and it's called Step Into the Spotlight, and it's for people who want to build a personal brand online and be more confident and overcome imposter syndrome, etc. So I've slipped that into the conversation many times, and it's just natural, right? I create these things because I want to serve. I'm not creating it for any other reason than to give back to my community. And so it would be selfish of me to not tell you guys about the programs that I have to offer if they're helping you. Now, obviously, it's a paid workshop, you know, like your music is worth money, my intellectual property is worth money. But that's not really the reason that I'm doing it. It's like I allow people to pay for my services so that I can actually have the time to make more and more things of value. So yeah, mention what you do. Again, mention that you're a musician. Mention that you're starting to consult with bands. Mention that you're a videographer and you specialize in, you know, behind the scenes videos or video clips or something like that. Don't be afraid to talk about what you do. I also don't really give a fuck about rejection. I trust the notion that what is for me will not pass me. What is for me will not pass me. So that means if something is meant to be, it's meant to be. And if it's not meant to be, then that's the universe's way of protecting me from possibly a really bad decision. So I'm very spiritual in that way. And there have been so many instances where I've felt rejected because I wanted to work with a certain person or bring someone onto my band's team, and the answer was no. And I was like, damn it, I thought they were the perfect person. The universe is like, no, that perfect person is actually 6 months away, and you're better off being self-managed. And, you know, things always, always work out. So don't give a fuck about rejection. Rejection is just redirection. It's just like, oh, that's not the path for me. Let me try something else. It's never, ever, ever a sign to quit. Other people's opinions don't mean shit when it comes to your life's mission. Other people's opinions are just a mirror to what they're going through. If they don't believe that something is possible, that's to do with their mindset, not your talent. So again, your mission is more important than your ego. So make sure you're really, really clear on why you're pursuing music, why you are pursuing a career in the music industry, and really nothing can stop you except yourself. I honestly, honestly believe that. So last 2 points is when I'm having conversations with people, I'm genuinely excited about what they're saying. This is a really big part about my personality. I'm very excitable. I'm very jovial, which is such a contrast to who I present myself online. I feel like all my band photos and everything are just me looking like moody and serious. And that is me also. But naturally, if you meet me in real life, I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a Gemini moon. I love, love, love to encourage people and build people up. And I get genuinely excited when people achieve things, especially my clients. Like, I feel like it's my achievement. I'm so proud. And that's just my personality, as I said. But if you're not naturally someone who is as bubbly, that's just not really your style, that is totally fine, but we can all work on being present when other people are talking and listening and engaging and you can celebrate other people in your own way. I mean, people love talking about themselves. So if you can get someone talking about their passions and what they enjoy in life, they're going to, I mean, have you guys heard that saying of it's not necessarily about what you do, it's like how you make people feel. So if you get people talking about their passions and what they love, they're going to remember the feeling of talking to you and they're going to remember you in a positive light. So if you can be super present when you talk to people, especially in the industry, then that goes such a long way. And then the last technique, I didn't even want to call it a technique because to be honest, a lot of this was super unconscious, was very interesting me writing all of this out. But the last thing that I'm going to say about how I built my network in a no bullshit way is I do what I say I'm going to do. If someone asks me to do something or if I'm teaming up with someone on a project, I do what I say I'm going to do. If I say to my audience, I'm going to go live at a certain time, I fucking show up. I can probably count on one hand how many times I've canceled either a free meeting or a paid meeting. I think I've only ever canceled like one or two client meetings ever in the past 2 to 3 years of working with over 50 to 100 clients. And that's because I was genuinely really sick. So yeah, that's that. So do what you say you're going to do. It's one of the biggest things when it comes to having a good reputation in the music industry is being reliable and being trustworthy. And the more that you do what you say you're going to do, the more authentic you are, the more you are, the more trustworthy you're going to be to your audience or to people you're going to collaborate with. So they are my tips. I think there was about 20 or so tips of how I've built my network over the past few years. I mean, anyone who's involved in the heavy scene will already have a pretty good network. I leveraged my own friends, my Facebook friends, when I first started my business, because that was like an inbuilt network. You know, you guys know people, you know sound people, you know people in other bands. So if you're looking to start a business, you're already very, very lucky in the music scene that you have that beautiful foundation of people that have the same interests as you. I pretty much have worked with a business coach most of the time since I started my business, and most of that time has also been in group programs. So currently I'm in a program called the Amplify Mastermind, and it's myself and a whole bunch of other women in business in so many industries. So there's psychic mediums, there are confidence coaches, there are life coaches, there are astrologers, like really, really cool businesses. And one of the things that keeps coming up is how do I grow my audience from zero? And the best part is about, as I said, being in the music industry is I never had that problem. I always had a network of people on my personal socials. And like one of the biggest things I tell my clients and everything is to leverage your personal pages as much as you can to get your band out there. If you and your bandmates just do a round of inviting people to like your band's page every quarter or even a couple of times a year, then your page is going to grow so naturally. But the thing is, a lot of musicians have their pages on private, or, and that just gives a big red like neon sign to people who are coming across your page being like, I don't want to be followed. I'm not open to networking or making new friends or whatever. And it's such a missed opportunity. Take your pages off private. If you're afraid to do that, then that is what the Step Into the Spotlight workshop is for. It's about leveraging your personal brand and leveraging the online space to grow your band, grow your audience, grow your impact, grow your income. There are so many, as I said, so many ways you can make money in the music industry, but you just have to think outside of the box. And I will be going through that in the course. So if you're interested in joining, the link is in my bio to Step Into the Spotlight. If you're listening to the podcast, the link is down below in the show notes. And I will see you 11 o'clock on Saturday. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Being in a Band podcast. If you liked this episode, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss an upload. And if you really liked the episode, make sure you leave me a 5-star review. If you aren't a member already, come and join my free Facebook group, Music Marketing and Mindset for Heavy Bands and Musicians. It's a business savvy community of musicians just like you. If you want to work together, all the details are available at monicastrutt.com, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.